we present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Lyttelton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And I'm sorry to say that we begin with some sad news. Graham Garden has gone down with Hong Kong flu and is unable to be with us.
Hong Kong flu, I heard.
Price is actually reasonable, party's catered for.
It's a pity Tim didn't get it.
Oh, waspish.
I'll explain. His home, you see, is in Cookham Dean, and I could have said Hong Kong flew over the Cookham nest. No groaning. You're going to hear much worse than that in the next half hour.
You haven't got it.
Here are the teams now. We're delighted that Barry Cryer is being partnered tonight by Kenny Everett.
Hooray!
Oh, good old me. And welcome their opponents, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. And finally, please welcome our lovely scorer, Samantha.
Ah.
Right, well, we start with the round double feature. And this takes its premise from the poverty of the international film industry. For economic reasons, new films will have to be remakes of pairs or groups of old films, and I want you to hear the resulting titles. And let's start with you, Barry Cryer.
Well, this is a bumper bundle, Humph. This is a combination of Morons from Outer Space, Terror in the Isles, and Revenge of the Nerds to make a new film called The Price is Right.
Willie.
Well, such has been the success of the Raj films and television series. They're doing one now. They're marrying Carry On Up the Khyber and Gandhi, and they're calling it Back Passage to India.
Hi, Kenny.
I'm not following that.
Praise the Lord.
I've got here Company of Wolves, Morons from Outer Space, and Killing Fields, which is Wolves versus Millwall.
Horror Tim.
Ripple.
Well, a combination of television programmes, Thames Television, are combining Give Us a Clue with Whose Baby, and they're calling it the Cecil Parkinson story.
Any advance on those?
Dance with a Stranger and A Man Like Eva, the Lionel Blair story.
How about the Egg and I, Spellbound and Private Function is, yes, Every Which Way But Loose.
Willie, you must have...
Well, I just say, the marriage go round and a hasty heart, and the film is called Isn't It High Time Russell Harty Got Married? Well, then perhaps not.
No, perhaps not. Right, this is the point where I give the teams advance notice of the ball for which they'll be providing the announcements for the late arrivals at the end of the programme. And this week I've chosen the beautician's ball. The beautician's ball.
Oh, good.
We have a round now called Guinness Book of Records. And for this round I shall be giving our team some statistics, and I want to know what record they represent. We're going to start with you, Barry Cryer. Your statistic is 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Elizabeth Taylor's second marriage. Or a rather painful memory I'd rather not talk about.
I'd say it was a wild exaggeration. But then I wasn't there.
No.
Do you want to know the real answer?
I would. I'm agog.
It was the time in which a Mr. Roy Dean solved the Times crossword puzzle.
How have I struggled along without knowing that?
Willie Rushton, here's your statistic. 450,000 tons.
As lost by 1985's Slimmer of the Year, Clive James.
Or you could say that it's the largest garbage dump weight.
I did.
For an extra mark on top of those 15, can you tell me where the largest garbage dump is?
House of Commons.
Well, actually, it's Staten Island. Kenny, here's your statistic. I wish I could say statistic. 1,050 dozen.
Claire Rayner's breakfast?
Last count of the Nolans.
Well, I'll tell you, it was the number of eggs shelled in one shift.
You managed to say that all right.
Carefully, but right.
For those of you at home, that was a retake.
Samantha, 10 marks from Tim Brooker. Tim, here's your figure. £7.13.
An entry in Mandy Rice Davis's diary.
For our older viewers.
What's that in new money?
Impossible. What are the true facts,
Hum? The true facts. It's the cheapest film ever made. Says so.
Name it.
don't know what the film was?
No, I don't.
Well, it was made in 1905. Ah. I would have thought you'd know. It's a film called Rescued by Rover. Made in 1905.
I went to the premiere.
Here are some record holders, and I'll throw these out to you now. Barry, first of all, what record does Barry Manilow hold?
The world's biggest Vic inhaler.
Yes, and he also achieved the fastest sellout on Broadway. Willie Rushton.
They left that quickly, didn't they?
He also fits exactly in the cockpit of Concorde.
Willie, here's one for you. What record does Aaron Spelling hold?
Aaron Spelling? I think he cured the most dyslexics in the Third Reich. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You posh.
Personal friend of Hilter.
Compared with that, the real answer is terribly boring. He is the most prolific TV producer.
Good Lord.
Kenny Everett now. What record does Marlon Brando hold?
Oh, the most money for not appearing in a film.
It's very nearly right. He's the highest paid actor for any single role.
Up to this date, but my agent is working on a contract. At the moment.
Tim, here's yours. What record does Ian Botham hold?
His record must be, take it so many years, he claims to have always kept off the grass.
Which is wordplay.
Pretty clever.
Yes. That's just very subtle, yes. He was the first to reach 2,500 runs and 250 wickets in Test cricket. And we hurry on to the next game. called Limericks. I'm going to ask you to make up some limericks that are suitable for broadcasting.
That's a new rule, Humphrey.
I'll give you the first line, and then you take one line each. We're going to start with you, Kenny. Hooray for the venerable Bede.
Who frequently scattered his seed.
Twixt altar and pew.
He would seek postures new.
And whenever it rained, cried Godspeed.
Okay, here's one for you, Tim. The stripper's pet boa constrictor.
Would purr like a cat as he licked her.
Controversial stuff.
Well said, Kenny.
Barry.
He once bit her fan.
Oh, that's cleaned it up, anyway.
Poor innocent man.
In the back of an old Vauxhall Victor.
Look, thank you.
Right, Barry, here's your first line. The train driver told his young stoker...
Continue the motif. It's time for a game of strip poker.
It's a grand thing to do.
As you're speeding through Crewe.
And when Elsie gets on, we'll decoke her.
We'll do one more of those in the hope that it'll be fit for broadcasting.
Why not? Let's prove life isn't all red. Fun.
Yes.
Willie Rushton, here's a line for you. There was a young man from Arbroath...
who was constantly plating his truth.
To girls local and foreign... follow foreign.
He'd lift up his foreign.
Then hang upside down like a sloth. I think we should have finished with you, Tim.
Many programs.
Right, that's
do.
The end of that round. I'm going to ask the lovely Samantha what the score is.
Oh.
2, I think, if there's anything to go by.
She's leaning over the buzzers as we speak.
William Tim. What's that? William Tim 8.
He's in a world of his own, poor soul.
It's the first time we've had a scorer. I'm going to enjoy it.
He's reading her William. Sideways.
Why does she seem nearer to us than we are to her? It's very strange.
Barry and Kenny, 17.
Oh, Samantha.
Oh.
Come on.
Well, it's all down there. We're going to play now the round which is wittily entitled One Song to the Tune of Another. Tim, I want you to sing I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts to the tune of We'll Keep a Welcome in the Hillside. And Colin Sell will accompany you at the piano.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in a row. A big one, small one, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the show. Said I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich. There stands me wife, the idol of me life.
What a showstopper. Now then, Barry, if you will please sing Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious to the tune of the German national anthem.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I was only obeying orders, you understand. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. I never met the royal family, I tell you.
Willie Rushton.
What?
You were piecing My Old Man's a Dustman to the tune of The Girl from Ipanema.
Good intro. He looks a proper nana in his great big hobnailed boots. He's got such a job to pull them up that he calls them Daisy Roots. Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He
And he lives in a council flat. And he lives in a council flat. He looks a proper nana in his red big hobnail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up and he calls them Daisy Rose.
That was my best bit.
Kenny Everett, we've given you an easy one as you're new to the programme. Will you sing Daisy Bell to the tune of Funiculi Funiculi?
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer door. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage, I can't afford a credit. But you'll accept upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
You get an extra mark there because there was a lady in the front row singing along with you.
Fool. The attendants are removing her at this moment.
And we're going to move on now to play our regular game, Mornington Crescent.
Oh, sweet.
And Kenny, because you're playing this game for the first time, we're going to give you a bit of help. And just for you and not for any of the others, Oxford Circus is wild.
Thank you.
And I think, having given you that bit of help, we'll start with you.
Beecham Place.
Brewer Street.
Old Compton Street.
Wimbledon High Street.
Oh, so it is.
What? Always safe there.
Wimbledon High Street?
Yes.
I challenge that.
Well, in no position to. You get on with it.
You've got a wild in. By definition, if there's a wild in there, he can't do Wimbledon
High
Street.
I don't accept the challenge. Carry on, Kenny.
Oh, West End Lane, probably.
Is that all one word? I mean,
West End Lane, probably West 11. Yes. I said probably, mind you.
No fun playing with amateurs. Great Marlborough Street, I suppose.
Regent Street.
Yep. Sorry, Willie.
Frith Street, all right?
Oh.
Well, that's me out. Frith Street got me.
Why don't you play the wild card? If you've got it.
Oxford Circus.
Now give him a chance.
Mornington Crescent.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, really? I think that was Kenny. Pretty shabby
it
when
was,
Kenny hasn't played it before.
Yeah, quite.
I think you're looking very smug now, but going straight in after the first wild.
He played it for the third round, that's the point.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's no room for sentiment in this game.
No.
So. Obviously. Jim's the winner on that one, and the scores are now level pegging. We go on to a new round called Lies, All Lies. I'm going to give a team member a subject, and he must try to lie about it for a minute. And if he tells the truth, he can be challenged, and the challenger must then take over. And this is an individual game. This isn't a team game, so anybody can challenge. We're going to begin with you, Willie, and your subject is breakfast TV.
All anybody doesn't want to know about breakfast television is... what does Selina Scott do in her spare time? I can reveal. She has for 15 years been married to Russell Grant, by whom she has had 12 children. He has
made... a member of the SS. No, what?
Russell does have 12 children, and they're all inside him.
That was a dubious challenge there from Kenny. So, Willie, will you continue?
What fun it is to look down the front of... our Ford's frock. So, how disgusting is this? Look down the front.
I don't know. Sorry, I don't know about Willie, yes.
Yes, that was the truth, yes. So, Kenny, will you carry on telling lies about breakfast TV?
It's on at night, and it's very, very good. And they talk about really important things for very short intervals of time. And the weather's always right.
That's true. They only talk about important things for a very short time.
Except Roland Rat.
That's true. But as you haven't had a turn, Barry, can you tell us some lies about breakfast TV?
Everybody wants there to be much more breakfast television. Two channels are not enough. People are saying Channel 4 should be on at 2 a.m., BBC Two should have James Burke on. as opposed to James Burke. And James Burcombe's my butcher. You wouldn't know him, but he's wonderfully entertaining, and he could do, you know, a giblet for Europe. And
Barry has managed to lie for a minute. In fact, he lied for about 6 minutes, but you're the winner of that round. And such
Shut.
A... Such a success was that one that we're going to do another. We're going to start with you, Barry, and we're going to ask you to lie, if you can, for a minute, about the Sun newspaper.
This much...
Challenge. Challenge from Tim.
That's a lie in the first place. You can hardly call the Sun a newspaper.
This fine minority appeal newspaper, struggling along, appealing to a little coterie of intellectuals and devotees of minority interests, is one of my favourite publications.
I challenge from Tim.
That's true, yes. Yeah. That's
Damn, you found the loophole.
Yeah, I'll accept that, yeah. Tim.
Willie.
Willie, yeah, you have a go.
Rupert Murdoch is not Australian, despite all the evidence to the contrary. He comes like Robert Maxwell from Transylvania.
Oh, these two vampires don't like mirrors.
Oh, in blood.
Yes, that round goes to Barry. We're going to play a game now called Hide and Seek. And we've played this on the program before, but this week we're going to play it in a slightly different way. It's going to be the audience's turn to hide.
Weren't you praying for this?
You mean the audience here as opposed to our listening public?
Yes. People can join in at home if they wish.
Good.
I'm going to count up to 10, during which time you must hide, and then on the count of 10, the teams will start to try and look for you. Ready? Off you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Coming, ready or not.
Off you go, teams.
Under. Have you looked? Look in that flower pot. Look in that flower pot.
If we keep very quiet, we may hear where they are.
Oh,
they're over there.
Shh, listen. Okay, don't listen.
I think they're in the piano. Either that or Colin's being again. Again.
Well, as nobody managed to find them, we're going to have to call that game off because, as you know, this program has limited time and we have to hurry along to invite our teams to introduce the late arrivals at the Beautician's Ball. This is open for anybody. I'm going to just sit here and enjoy it.
Can the audience join in this one as well?
When they get back, yes. Mr. and Mrs. Slift and their daughter Faye. Slift.
Sir Pierce Dears.
Will you welcome, please, that well-known Welsh barber, dye the hair?
Not to mention
well,
Mr.
Don't.
And Mrs. Shalal and their daughter Faye.
My word, they don't come out often.
So we've heard, Willie.
Here are the Cone Tits and their daughter Celia Cone Tits. Oh.
Don't think you're allowed to say Cone, are you?
Oh.
There's Sid Pencil. He was on Mastermind. We know him as the highbrow pencil. And his friend, who's a pleasant plucker. Oh, there's that spiritualist osteopath who believes the medium is the massage.
And the well-known German beautician hair conditioner. Mr. and Mrs. Crean and their daughter Sylvia Crean.
Their agent manicure.
The removals have just arrived. Their extremely rude son, very coarse Vince removal.
Oh, look, here comes Betty Wears a Wig.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Spots Clear Up and their daughter Wilma Spots Clear Up.
Yes, the well-known hairdresser Unisex once gave a hen a rinse and a duck a bath. I'm ready, take me.
You're on your own, Barry.
Oh, I'm lacquered. No.
We've now run out of time, ladies and gentlemen, regrettably, so until next time, from all of us, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Tim Brooke-Taylor, Kenny Everett and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Lyttelton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.